We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Again, I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Great night for the Brewers last night. Not only did they get the 3-1 victory over the San Diego Padres, you had the Nationals beat the Cardinals, and you had the Cubs lose as well to the Cincinnati Reds. So a great night overall in the NL Central. The way the standings go now, the Brewers are two back of the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied with the Cubs. So not only are they tied with the Cubs in the NL Central, obviously, they're tied in the wild card race. So NL Central, Cardinals at the top. Brewers and Cubs, two back. Wild card, Nationals at the top, game and a half back or up of the Cubs and Brewers. Cardinals and Nationals play this afternoon. Cardinals and Cubs play seven times in their remaining 2 weeks of play. And then the Brewers have some teams with the Pirates and the Rockies and the Reds that they should be able to, for the most part, take care of.
Well, hopefully.
So it's going to be a wild couple of weeks coming up here in Major League Baseball, specifically for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, I just never liked the idea of that. You know, they play a team that plays a team with a losing record that it's not automatically guaranteed to win. I mean, these two games of San Diego coming up, not at all guaranteed. Or the weekend series, the Pirates. Next week at Cincinnati is going to be tough. And then closing out against Colorado, man, these are four tough series yet.
I mean, Cincinnati, they went to Wrigley last night and beat the Cubs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean,
I know.
Yes, they should be a win, and you can pencil them in on a win. And yes, hopefully if the Cubs and Cardinals beat up on each other, the Brewers gain from that. But there's nothing to say that the Pirates don't want a little revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Reds don't want to spoil the Brewers.
Sure.
Or even the Rockies.
Hey.
Your final game of the season, final series of the season, Rockies have nothing to play for, but they knocked you out of the playoffs last year if you're a Rocky, and you're thinking, I'm going to do the same to the Brewers.
Despite Bud Black being a big fan of this radio station.
He is, yes.
He's a big fan.
That is confirmed.
Gave us a big shout out. But, I mean, look what the Padres did to the Cubs last week, Bart. I mean, they split the series with the Cubs. Cubs went in the San Diego, and you know, they dropped the middle two games of that series and then won the final one. So anything's possible when you're playing teams with a losing record. You're facing guys at the bottom of the roster. You may have some unscouted players that are getting in there, guys you're not used to playing, and guys who are just trying to, you know, who are playing for next year, playing for roster spots next year. So some of these teams that the Brewers are facing, these guys want to finish off the season strong too. This is big for these guys.
Yeah, Bud Black, a big fan. Hopefully Jerry Augustine is as well. The former Brewer pitcher, now with Fox Sports Wisconsin, called some games up in the booth with BA last week. Great job there. Augie, how are you? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Augie.
Doing well. Good analysis, guys. You are exactly right. I think anytime you play anybody on a major league level, you always got to go out and play good baseball. And you look at the teams that they're playing, San Diego is not a bad ball club. But we saw it last night with Paddock. He threw the ball so well against us. Has that great changeup, a lot like Michael Walker from the St. Louis Cardinals. But, you know, this is a team you got to go and play hard every day against. And, you know, you got 11 games left. All 11 are going to be tough to play. You got to go and play good baseball.
Yeah, Augie, what is it about baseball that, you know, like I've been saying here, I mean, you can't just chalk up or write in victories against the bad baseball teams. NBA, you might be able to do it. NFL, certainly. But in baseball, you know, some of these teams with their expanded rosters, who knows?
Yeah, well, every day is a new story. You know, it's someone trying to make a story, make history in their own little minds. And, you know, teams want to do it. And they, you know, you want to finish strong. And you got young players coming up at this time of the year that want to prove that they belong in the big leagues. And, you know, everybody's out to prove something. So I don't think there's any given. I think it's always tougher to play teams over 500 because they have something to prove and something to play for. But teams that you play, I mean, the teams that we have left, San Diego's a good team. Pittsburgh always plays well against us. Cincinnati in Cincinnati can be extremely tough. And then you go into Colorado with that ballpark, anything can happen.
Jerry Augustine joining us, Fox Sports Wisconsin. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. We were talking earlier, Augie, about how the Brewers have been playing so well. 11 of 12, they've won. And there's guys stepping up every night, and whether it's guys that you think would step up, like Mike Moustakas, or guys that you wouldn't think, like Tyler Austin, that you almost forget that Christian Yelich is out for the season. I mean, you almost forget that Christian Yelich, either you watch the game, you're just thinking, oh, maybe Yelich has had the day off, or maybe he's, you know, maybe he's having a tough night. But you almost forget about this horrific thing that happened to him because the Brewers have been playing so well in his absence. Do you think there's any part of the team that, I mean, you really get, you lost your best guy, but yet you're playing better without him? How much can an injury be used as a motivator when it does happen to your MVP like that?
Well, I think you got to look at what type of ball player Christian Yelich is. I mean, you know, you can't replace the Christian Yelich. It's impossible. This, you know, not only the way he plays the game, he's a, you know, you talk about him being an MVP. He's an MVP when he plays the game of baseball, but he's also an MVP with the team, and he's an MVP in the community. He's one of those guys that you like to model kids after because he's such a good guy, and you don't replace that. But I think when you look at a situation that the Brewers are in, it's about not going out for these players and doing more, because that's, you're asking them to do something that they're not naturally able to do. But what you can ask them to do is go out and do what they do better. And I think that's what you see in this ball club is, I think Christian Yelich is their leader. He's the face of the franchise. But at the same time, you know, when he got hurt, everybody said, hey, you know what? We all have to pick it up. Not that we do more, just that we go out and we play better. And they have. You're seeing new, different guys every night coming up. You're seeing the pitching just being tremendous. Pomeranz last night was just awesome. Peralta the night before. You get these guys stepping up and really doing a good job. That's where you put it together. You start putting together good baseball in all three phases of the game, and all of a sudden, you got a winning streak going, and that's exactly what the Brewers are doing.
Now, that bullpen was so great last year, and for the most part this season, the bullpen, other than Hader, has been disappointing. But it seems like they're coming together. Council kind of alluded to that in his postgame press conference last night with Pomeranz, as you touched on. I mean, there are certain guys in that bullpen are stepping it up right about now.
Yeah, you know, everybody's finding their little niche, and I think that's what Craig has been able to do. He's actually been trying to do it all year. You know, you don't take a Corey Knebel, you know, who was fantastic last year in the month of September, and you don't take a Jeremy Jeffries the year he had the year before, and that's almost like replacing a guy. You can't do that, but you have to have guys step up, and this year they've had guys step up at different times, and if you take every guy in that bullpen, they have stepped up at one time or another and pitched very well. So they're confident they can do it. Now Craig Council is doing an excellent job, just a really good job at putting them in position to be successful. You know, you find out what he's been doing with guys like Peralta and Suter. Suter's just been so good. But he puts them in situations where they can be very good. And I think that has a lot to do with the way this bullpen is pitching real well right now.
Jerry Augustine, Fox Sports Wisconsin, the former Brewer pitcher. You know, as a pitcher, when you come back from an injury, typically what will happen is you get some rehab starts in the minor leagues, and then you're ready to go, and then you pitch in the big leagues again, and everything should be back up to speed. But with Brandon Woodruff, there's no minor league ball going on right now. They needed him, and so he's trying to work it out at the big league level. That's got to be, I mean, the way you've got to be impressed with Brandon Woodruff. Here's another guy that the Brewers do need, and to still rehab while in the midst of a pennant race, I just think that was phenomenal last night.
Yeah, I think it starts with, you take a guy like Brent Suter. Here's a guy who has Tommy John. They say he's going to be out. He might be lucky to pitch at all this year. But what did Brent Suter do? He went through the format. It's exactly what they wanted him to do. But not only did he go through the process of going to Arizona, getting the good work he needed to do, but he looked at his game and said, how can I make it better? And I think you're seeing that also out of Brandon Woodruff. Brandon Woodruff has said, and I talked to him in Miami, he said, you know what, I want to make my pitches better. I have the good fastball. Everybody knows about my fastball. I can explode it when I want to. I can really reach back, get a little extra. I've got that good changeup that he showed again last night. But that slider, I want to make that better. Now, last night, he struggled with it a little bit. He got it up in his zone. He seemed good down in his zone. But, you know, you're starting to see him understand that hey, you know, even though you're good, you can be better. Be better at what you do, and you can be a really good player. And that's exactly what Brandon Woodruff has done. He's taken the time he's had off. He's educated himself. He's made himself better. And I thought last night his fastball locating was really good last night. It really used the changeup effectively.
Do you look at him as the, I mean, going in the next season, he's the number one starting pitcher going in the next year without question?
Oh, without a doubt. I think when you look at Brandon Woodruff and what he's done this year, you know, you take that educational process that he had to go through. He came up 2 years ago, and, you know, he really struggled in the beginning, went down and up, and then all of a sudden it got to the close to the playoffs the last month and a half of the season last year. He was fantastic. He's really found himself. He found himself that, you know what, if I locate my fastball, use my changeup, and then show that slider and I can throw for strikes, I can be a good pitcher. Now he found out that he gets in situations and he can reach back and he can pitch the ball not only at 94, 95, but he can reach back and get 98, 99 when he needs it. And that's really, really special.
Jerry Augustine, Fox Sports Wisconsin. You look at some of the acquisitions the Brewers made here as we talk Chuck and Winkler on the Fan. Drew Pomeranz, sure. Jordan Lyles, this is an interesting case where he was not pitching well in Pittsburgh at all. And he has been like Brandon Woodruff-like for the Brewers. I mean, maybe their best pitching acquisition at the deadline since CeCe Sabathia with the performances. Yasmani Grandal the other night says, yeah, he's still pretty much throwing the same. It's just about the sequencing, how we're getting him to throw pitches when. Is as simple as that as why Jordan Lyles did not have success in Pittsburgh and now is having success in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, I go back to Jordan Lyles and I look at him, what he did the first time out in Milwaukee. He pitched in Oakland. If you remember that game, the last three innings that he pitched, he pounded the breaking ball. He threw it probably, you know, probably 70 to 80% of the time. He had great control out of it. Next time out, started using the fastball, the combination with it. All of a sudden, he found a sequence that, you know what, I can pitch up high with the fastball, located in the upper part of strike zone that they can't hit, and then I have my great breaking ball. But then every once in a while, he'll throw a changeup or a slider down or a good fastball in and out, and that's kind of sets the table. Now you're talking about being able to sequence what you have and make it really positive. And I just think he's in a place where, you know, when you start throwing the ball, you talk about having command. Then you talk about having confidence in the ability to throw it. Then all of a sudden you hit that comfort level. And comfort level is you see it, you throw it, and it's a good pitch. And I think right now when you talk about Jordan Lyles, he's in that comfort level.
We were talking before you hopped on here, the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, about how much Rockies manager Bud Black loves our station.
105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee is one of, you know, on the road, when I go through the National League, you know, it's one of my stations. Hats off to 105.7. I'm in.
So the challenge is, can you say something nicer about us than Bud Black did?
I don't think I can. Anytime you get that type of nice things said to you by Bud Black, but you got to understand, Bud Black is really a good manager. He's a good pitcher. And he's really a class guy.
And, he's saying he didn't mean what he said there to us?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, he's just a good guy and very observant about the game of baseball. He's been around a long time. I remember him pitching with Kansas City. He's a class individual, and he's turned himself into a very, very good manager. And, you know, anytime you have that, you get those kind of statements made by someone outside our area, that's really a nice thing to have on your resume, and you guys do such a good job of talking about the game of baseball the way it should be talked about, and that success is translated because Bud Black says he likes to listen to you guys.
Augie, appreciate it as always. If Dario ever needs the night off, I'm your guy to sit next to you on Fox Sports Wisconsin. I'm your guy, my man. I'm your guy.
We have fun. Baseball is fun. It's just so much fun to go out and talk about the game. That's the part that I really enjoy, and it was so much fun to be alongside BA and really talk about the game of baseball like I see it. You know, I'm a pitcher, and you got to understand, I'm left-handed, so I don't see it like other people do. So it was so much fun. I had a great time, and it was nice for the Blues to win. I found it made it a little bit easier, but anytime, it'd be a lot of fun to do, sir.
You got it.
Thanks, Augie. Jerry Augustine joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, if you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935. Again, Jerry Augustine, part of the Fox Sports Wisconsin coverage. You can check them out. And when the game ends, I know Augie does a great job saying Augie on the postgame show, but don't forget Tim Allen right here on 105.7 FM.
Yes, and unless I was with Augie on the postgame show, then I'd advise everybody to watch the TV because you get both of us veterans there going back and forth. That'd be some good stuff.
So if Dario needs the night off on TV, you'll do it?
I'm offered to do it. I got Augie's endorsement right on our show here. Yes, I'd get a haircut and be looking good.
Maybe Dario should take the whole season off.
Oh, hey, if they need me the rest of the year,
just because how great you are is what I'm saying.
Yes. Doesn't matter.
It's Chuck and Winkler. Also great, pot roast. The pot roast potluck at Perkins.
Pot roast supersedes everything.
I think so.
I love pot roast.
Perkins
especially
said,
you put some A1 sauce on it.
Well, here's the deal. Perkins said, Bart, coming up, we have pot roast. And I said, pot roast. All right, let me try some. Okay, this is, okay, the pot roast classic. I like this. Yeah, this would be fun. This will be good to eat. And then I had the pot roast melt. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a nice lunch. And then they go, all right, now we have some breakfast for you to try. And they brought that in for us a couple weeks ago. I said, whoa. I know people are going to get excited about the pot roast stuff because this stuff is very good. But for breakfast, and they brought in breakfast 2 weeks ago, and I had two different meals. I had the fajita quesadilla, and then I had, like, there's a pot roast that they basically put on a scrambler, and then you eat it. Mm-hmm. It's the beef with the gravy, with the eggs, with the potatoes.
It's all good.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Yeah. And you can only get that right now for a limited time at Perkins. You still owe us a round of Perkins, don't
you? Well, I told you, I'm willing to do it. Yeah, both of you. Horvey, too, included. You know, second poorest man in radio. I'll get both of you guys taken care of. We'll go to Perkins someday after the show.
Horvath will be like, can I get a to-go box? I also get five meals in there?
I'm going to use the money that Horvey's going
to
pay me.
This isn't Vegas vacation when they're going to the buffet and just stuffing their pockets. Who's that? Yeah. Randy Quaid? Dennis Quaid? Randy Quaid. Dennis Quaid's much better looking.
No, I'm already Randy Quaid from Major League.
I'm Dennis Quaid in Any Given Sunday, Cap Rooney. Was that him? Remember, he's the quarterback, and then he goes down, he's got the bad back, and Willie Beeman takes over? All right, I'm with the pot roast. Never mind.
Pot roast at Perkins. Boy. Today you can get the buy one, get one at Perkins as well. Sign up for the weekly e-club, PerkinsRestaurants.com, and you'll be able to buy a meal, and they get another meal for free. You got to sign up for the e-club for that. PerkinsRestaurants.com. When you do sign up, you'll get a coupon right away just for signing up.
I thought Horvey was going to talk again about another record that he broke in high school or grade school. Like Walter
Most Payton. Time spent in the penalty box, and I was the only guy to ever take my skate off and try to stab somebody with
you
it.
You played hockey?
No, that's Happy Gilmore.
Oh, okay.
We're just going references, movie references now.
He broke Jeremy Roenick's record.
Yeah, Walter Payton's rushing record.
Yeah.
I think I broke the record for most first five under losses in a Major League Baseball season, but I got a good one today. Max Scherzer on the mound today against the Cardinals.
You broke record for world's shortest update to start the hour.
Yeah, what was that? Did anybody hear? I was hoping that nobody else out there heard that. I haven't got a tweet or anything yet. I went to say my name twice, and I wasn't coming through the microphone. Something got switched over on my board.
Boston come running in here. That was the main thing. So
I actually ratted myself out. I was like, hey, did you hear that update? And he's like, no, I was in a meeting. I was like, okay. Yeah.
It's great.
No.
It's great.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. An update from Mike Clemens next.
105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee is one of, on the road. When I go through the National League, you know, it's one of my stations. Hats off to 105.7. I'm in.
Are committed to not letting the G-Force die. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Crowd very good last week. Everybody pretty excited. Every Packer that I heard comment at it was very thrilled to have such great crowd interaction at Lambeau Field. You guys stepped up. You were asked to step up, Chuck. The Lambeau Field crowd stepped up.
Murphy eliminated the Foghorn. There was no more Foghorn. That was a little trial and error in the preseason. I don't think that was. I didn't see that going on. But a noon kickoff. Fans were ready to go. And I think that the night before got them tuned up a little bit with the concert out there. The area around Lambeau Field before the game on Saturday was just wall to wall.
So you credit Big and Rich for the Packers win?
No, 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 no.
414-799-1250. How important is Big and Rich to the Packers' success?
No. Who helped more, Big or Rich?
I think there were more non-Packer fans at that concert than there were Packer fans.
I think Big and Rich is more important to the Packers' success than that diva Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, what a diva.
I still don't even know who Big and Rich is. And I was at the end of that concert.
Yeah, Rodgers is such a diva.
Yeah.
Always trying to win and stuff.
We should get Big and Rich behind center.
Yeah.
It's not good to have a quarterback who feels good about himself.
Stupid question, and I should probably Google it. Big and Rich. Now, are those two gentlemen named like Big and Rich? Like, you know, like Rich?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it like a band and that's just their name, Big and Rich? You saw him, Freems.
I came at the end, which was probably the best part of the concert because everybody was leaving.
Yeah,
I just don't like today's country music. I don't like it at all. I don't even know who it was. I don't know. I saw the tour bus leave. That's it.
Lambo struggles to get. I don't know if I should say this. They never really get great musical acts. Like
they said, Paul McCartney, Billy Joel. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm saying like for a concert series.
Yes,
I mean outside or at halftime. Like I'm not the biggest Melissa Etheridge fan. Like come to my window never doesn't really exactly get me pumped.
When did
they have
Melissa Etheridge?
Last season when I was there.
They did?
Yeah, it was Monday Night Football. The game they almost blew to the Niners.
They had Melissa Etheridge outside?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Come to my window.
I don't remember that. They had Steve Miller last year, which I thought was kind of an odd choice.
Steve Miller would get me fired up though.
They had Kid Rock. Kid Rock was there.
Oh, I hate
a couple
Kid
years
Rock.
Ago.
Yeah. All right. William Kenneth Elf. Is known as Big Kenny.
Okay.
And John Rich is John Rich. So they go by Big and Rich.
Not to be confused with former Raiders fullback John Ritchie, though, right?
Not to be confused with John Ritchie.
Thank you.
Not to be confused with David Bakhtiari, who is on the Wendy's Big Show. He will be on the Big Show Tuesdays at 4:35 in the afternoon. He was on again last night, and he praised the crowd at Lambeau Field.
I got to say, you know, that's the loudest I've heard Lambeau in a long time. I think that's for sure the loudest I've ever heard him for a noon game. And I just challenge, you know, everyone listening, like, I know everyone can be louder. That plays a huge, huge role. Like, I don't really think fans understand how important it is because when I'm at an opposing field and it is loud and being a tackle, I think, honestly, it puts the most frustration on the tackle. That's why I forfeited trying to look at the defense. I stare at the quarterback trying to get a get-off. And when you don't have a get-off as a tackle, you put yourself in a compromised position against a pass rusher such as Zadarius or Preston, you give them any bit more of an advantage, they're going to make you pay. And it's just I'm so thrilled to see us have another competitive advantage. And I just challenge everyone to just be even louder.
I find it pretty interesting that here in the state of Wisconsin, I don't think people realize that the crowd affects how the guys play. Like, when I say, the Bucks Arena should be louder for the playoffs, or people at Miller Park need to be louder, the most frequent response to that is, so you're saying if they would have cheered louder, the Bucks would have won by 2 points, or Sterling Brown would have made that three? I mean, that's a very dumb way to respond to what I'm saying. When you have a crowd that is energetic, the guys respond in kind. It's like if you are a musician, let's go back to Big and Rich. If they're going to play in front of Lambeau and there's 10 people there, they're going crazy, but there's only 10. But then the next day there's 200. They're going to have a better show for the 200 because there's more people, there's more energy.
Yeah, there's energy. And plus, you make it tough on the opposing team.
Why do we have to explain to people that crowd interaction helps the home team?
I'm telling you, Bart, when I went to Toronto...
Everybody around here is so embarrassed to stand up. I don't get it.
When I went to Toronto, they didn't have to do anything artificially to get the fans fired up in Toronto when the Bucks were there. Giannis is at the free throw line, shooting free throws, Bart, in game 6 or, you know, the earlier ones, games 3 and 4, and it is deafening in there. I'm telling you, it is deafening in there. It is loud, and you make it tough. Giannis at the free throw line, and you can't hear anything because that crowd is up. You know, here, you know, guy from the Raptors is at the free throw line, Leonard, and boy, it's like a library in there. Make it difficult on them. I'm sure you're a smattering of cheers. It's just like a regular season crowd. No, postseason crowd has got to be loud for Bucks playoffs. And it made it difficult. I'm saying it wasn't intimidating for the visiting team this past Sunday at Lambeau Field, but it's been louder than it normally has been.
I don't get it. People are so, like, ratings to watch and listen to games in Wisconsin are always so high, mm-hmm. and attendance is always so great, and people go and they tailgate, mm-hmm. and then when you're inside the stadium during the game and you're asked to cheer a little louder, fans usually go, I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
I don't get it. We go so far, and then we pull back. So that was one thing that David Bakhtiari did like. Well, maybe he didn't like, again, he was on the Big Show yesterday, 4:35 Tuesdays throughout the season, was they got off to that hot start, 21-0, and then they cooled off a little bit. What happened? According to people that called into the show yesterday, what happened was Aaron Rodgers stopped playing Matt LaFleur's offense. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of show we had yesterday. David Bakhtiari explains what happens from his point of view.
I think it really comes down to adjustments. They made some good adjustments. You got to tip your hat to them. I mean, Mike Zimmer's, I mean, he's an unbelievable defensive play caller. He's got a good defense, and he's got good players on that defensive side. So to get on them early was awesome. But not only their adjustments, but there was two drives that really kind of took away our momentum. One was obviously fumbling in their territory where that's at least a scoring opportunity, 3 or 7. And then when the ref had made a questionable ball marking decision where he looked like he gave us the first down, we kind of felt like we didn't really get it, but we were going to force the next play so then they can't review it. So then we lived a fight to have the second and third down. Then they ended up calling a fourth down. You guys saw the issue. And we were all kind of confused when we got up, like why I thought we had a first down. Even when I ran the play, I assumed that we were running it for first down, then we were going to have second and third down to kind of function. So those are two drives right there that, you know, with our efficiency, we had been 100% getting in the end zone. That's 14 points right there taken off the board.
I was asked yesterday, I was on my friends in Sioux Falls yesterday. I'm like their Packer guy. I was asked, so did the Packers get complacent or did they put their foot off the gas? I don't think it was that. They went up 21-0 and then the Vikings, as Bakhtiari said, made adjustments. There were a couple turnovers, and then they had that confusion on that fourth down.
Although Devontae Adams, when I asked him about it, he said they did. He said they did take the foot off the gas in the soundbite that we played on Sunday afternoon, that he did play. He did.
Is there a chemistry issue between David Bakhtiari and Devontae Adams? 414-799.
Over whether or not they took the foot off the gas or not on Sunday's game.
Right. 414-799. I think Mike Zimmer was a big part of that. I mean, obviously, he's been a guy that's given Aaron Rodgers and the Packers fits for a long time. And that's why when you look ahead to this Broncos game, and we'll get real in-depth on this one tomorrow, Ryan Wood, 820, will join us. Mike Clemens, 930. But I think when you look at this Broncos team, okay, the defense is fine. The quarterback sucks. Joe Flacco's bad. They got decent skill position guys. But then you think Vic Fangio, okay? Vic Fangio is a guy who has given Rodgers fits, too. He was with the Bears last year. They had the best scoring defense in the league. They had the best rushing defense in the league. They had the most takeaways under his tutelage. And he was also the defensive coordinator for San Francisco in those years that the Packers would get bounced by San Francisco in the playoffs at the early part of the decade. So Vic Fangio has certainly given Rodgers fits over that time. I don't see that. I think that's maybe like a storyline, like what to watch for. But I think with this team, I'm looking at it as a, what do we call it around here, a roll at the helmets game?
Yeah, I think it is. They have Von Miller, who's going to be a disruption on their defense. They have him. So, but, you know, the Bronco defense looks, you know, damn good. When I was watching the second half of that Packers, the other game against the Bears on Sunday, it's their offense is brutal. Offense is just bad. So I don't... You know, the way the
did
Packer
they know,
defense...
or is the Bears' offense bad? Because this is the question with the Packers' defense. Like, the Packers' defense, there's certain things you can say about their defense. They're more fierce, they're more aggressive, they're mm-hmm. better ball hawks. I mean, they are a better defense than they were a season ago.
Sure.
But let's say that Matthew Stafford was the quarterback for the Bears in Week 1, or Matthew Stafford was the quarterback for the Vikings in Week 2. I mean, Kirk Cousins played so poorly... And Mitch Trubisky played so poorly. Did they play poor because of the Packers' defense, or did they play poor because those guys suck? We haven't seen the Packers really tested by a good quarterback yet. We're not going to see it this weekend against Joe Flacco. We could see it against the Eagles on Thursday night against Carson Wentz, but he may have no weapons. We're really not going to see the Packers against a good, healthy offense until they go down to Dallas in Week 5.
Yeah, could you say the Packers, could the Packer offense, are they struggling, or... Have they gone against some good defensive fronts that are giving them fits? I mean, it's both. I think it's a combination of both. I think the Packer offense isn't in full gear. I think they're playing some good defensive fronts. I think those two quarterbacks are bad. But if the Vikings come back and win that game against the Packers, I think maybe we got a different tone this week. Probably not even talking anything about the Brewers last night. People would be ticked off that they blew the 21-0 lead. I'm surprised, if that pass is completed or if they continue running the football. They get a first and goal at the 8-yard line, the Vikings, and if they continue to run it with Cook and score a touchdown there, the tone of this week's shows might be completely different as to more. There'd be more heat on Rodgers. Why did the defense? How did they allow? How did they allow that touchdown drive? How did they give up 24 points there? How did they blow the lead? So I think there's a much different narrative because the Vikings made a stupid decision on a first and goal at the 8th.
Well, it wasn't just that decision. Kirk Cousins had a bad game.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he overthrew a lot of dudes.
But then if he leads them to a touchdown drive with Cook, it's like, boy, the Packer defense that get not enough criticism maybe for how could they didn't stop Cook. If they lost the game, we'd be sitting here, how did
they? Cook had 175 yards.
Yes, but there's not been a lot of criticism on the Packers run defense. But if the Vikings win that game, there'd be a lot more. There would be a lot more criticism. It was like 157, wasn't it?
It was a lot.
Yeah. 157. He had the 75 of that one play where he got into the secondary and it was a chase game and he took off. He's really good once he breaks a couple of tackles, man. He's good. But there would be more criticism, I feel, on the Packer run defense.
Dalvin Cook is very good.
He is.
And it seems like the Vikings and the Bears, we keep talking about what this division's going to look like. I don't know if either of those teams have a good enough quarterback to help them win the division. You may end up looking at the Packers and the Lions as the two teams because Matthew Stafford ain't no good either.
You got that right, player.
Drink every time I say ain't no good.
Yeah.
But he's better than the other two.
But their defense got the job done. They should be 2-0. Should be 2-0. But what if they're 1-0-1? They got the tie out in the desert. They blew an 18-point lead, and then they came back and won this game. But the Lion defense. They played well against the Chargers, but they also blew an 18-point lead in the desert against Arizona.
Degenerate Cheesehead tweets in at 105.7 FM The Fan. Hey guys, are we gonna get after it this weekend? # Saturday night, # Stadium View, # GeForce, # See You There.
I was in Stadium View Saturday night.
Well, look for Degenerate Cheesehead.
Yeah. Yeah, I ran into a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, did you?
Oh, I mean,
Mark?
There.
did you get after it this weekend?
Did I get after it?
Yeah.
Well, Freems is getting after it every weekend. That's a given, man. So, yeah, Stadium View. The only place we didn't go to was the bar. The bar. But Anduzzi's, Stadium View. Then there was another one in back of Stadium View. Back of the old Brett Favre Steakhouse.
Bart, do you feel as if Chuck lives a cooler, like more entertaining life than both of us do? We're both pretty young guys. Chuck, I mean, you're a pretty young guy as well. But,
no. I think Chuck's still chasing something. I don't know what it is yet, but
I think it's because his kids are older, so we have to stay home.
We got an 8-year-old.
But that's old. Yeah.
But even before my kid, I was always at home.
Yeah.
Because I've got that all out of my system.
Like, I met him on Sunday to pick up my parking pass for Lambeau Field, and he's like, hey, not too early, Horvy. I'm going to have a late night tonight. I am waking up at 5:30, all excited for a Packers game.
And it turns out I got there before Horvy did.
Yeah, I hit some traffic.
I got there before them. I was...
I don't need to go out and get plowed every night.
Well, I'm not going out and plow.
Yeah, you can sit at home and do it.
And stay at home and do it.
I'm not getting plowed.
But you're always out. You're always at a concert. You're always at a game.
Yeah, just going out and having a good time.
He
was
at the Emmys, the Grammys. He's just walking. He's walking the red carpet with J-Lo. I'm like, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
It's like Chuck read a fortune teller told him he was going to die in 3 years.
Yeah.
So he's living every day to the fullest.
No, but that's like every day. That's like it's been nonstop, and it's eventually going to be the death of me, probably.
I'm just like, Bart, do you want to come and do this fun thing? I go, no, I'll just watch it on TV. Yeah.
Chuck's skydiving, mountain climbing. Rocky Mountain Climbing, or whatever the hell that song was by Tim McGraw, living like he's dying. And here I am, just playing Madden until 2 a.m. My wife's like, come to bed. I'm like, no, I got to beat the Seahawks.
And I'm considered the old guy in the show. People come after me on Twitter.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We are here until 10. Bill Michaels, 10 to 2, 12:35. Ron Wolf in studio, live with Bill Michaels. We'll have you covered. You'll be able to check out the video. Follow us if you don't already at 105.7 FM The Fan, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. Ron Wolf on your radio, 12:35 in studio a little bit later this afternoon. That's Chuck Freeman, Ryan Horvath. I'm Bart Winkler. We'll cover everything we did not next.
7 seconds on a full name Fu Manchu. And I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die.
Guys, you could put all these country bumpkins together, and I wouldn't be able to distinguish one from the other.
It's Tim McGraw, man. It's
what
Brett Favre's buddy.
With it?
Yeah, you're singing way too much this hour.
Yeah, no singing.
Come to my window earlier.
Yeah.
I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath here. If you're just tuning in to listen to Bill, well, hello. We're the show before that.
And, for those idiots.
Yeah, I'm a 35-year-old guy, and I stay at home a lot. Horvath, I think, is 30-something. And you stay home a lot. And then there's Chuck Freeman, who has passed the big 5-0 in his life. And where Horvath and I will typically stay in on the weekends and watch sports.
Text each other.
Yeah. Chuck is out and about at either a concert or a ball game or
Playboy
two
Mansion.
Games in one day. Or
yeah.
Who knows where Chuck is. So
golf
we
course.
Came to the golfing. We came to the maybe conclusion that we think Chuck knows he's dying soon and is trying to milk out every last minute of Earth until he passes away. This tweet comes in at 105.7 FM, The Fan, from, who was that from here? This is from Marv. He says, guys, there's a difference between being cool and just having a midlife crisis. I think Chuck might be having the latter.
Yikes.
You have a little midlife?
Okay. That guy doesn't know me, then, if he doesn't think I'm cool.
Well, what do you need in a midlife crisis? You need a new car. That certainly did not happen.
My car's terrible, yeah.
You have the same car you've had since, I think, the Model T was first made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is way back from the second marriage.
So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. What do we got here today?
Well, Timmy from Fredonia wants to talk to us, but first, I got a pretty solid story that I think we did miss. Friend of the show, we all love him, Tony Bennett. He's extended his contract to 7 years at the University of Virginia after winning the national championship, but he declined a raise. He made a gift to career development for current and former players. Also, he's putting more money towards the other programs at Virginia, the other sporting programs, but $500,000 towards a career development program, him and his wife are giving up there.
Tony is, more than enough has been said about what a class guy he is, and this doesn't surprise me at all. My greatest story with Tony Bennett is when he was in high school at Green Bay Preble, and his dad was coaching at UW Green Bay, Dick Bennett, the great Dick Bennett, and Dick assumed that Tony was going to come and play basketball for him at UW Green Bay. And he said, no, Dad, you still got to recruit me. So Dick had to go through the whole thing of recruiting his son, who went to Green Bay and became their all-time leading scorer, and eventually, a cup of coffee in the NBA before he started his coaching career. But he wanted his dad to recruit him. He said, "Don't assume I'm just going to Green Bay."
Well, it's funny because you hear a story like that in a class act like Tony Bennett, who we all root for. It was actually like I always rooted for a 16 to beat a 1, but it was tough seeing that 2 years ago because it was Tony Bennett. Mm-hmm. And then we go from the complete opposite because Rick Pitino also in the news. Him and the University of Louisville reach a settlement in lawsuits stemming from his departure from the school in October of 2017. He received no money then. Now it looks like he was he's going to seek a new chapter in his life, but he was suing for $35 million. It looks like he's going to get nothing in return.
So he lost the lawsuit.
And he's coaching in Greece.
What was he suing for? What was he, what?
Wrongful termination, maybe?
Pretty much.
But he did some bad things there.
Yeah, his personal file shall reflect his appointment. It was because he was trying to get his money back, like at least some of it, but he was fired. Like he was involved in some really bad stuff at Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot of stuff.
Strippers
we're not gonna,
and all that.
Yeah, a whole lot of stuff I don't really want to get into.
Yeah.
Looks like he's not going to be able to settle. And he's going to leave Greece also, and he's trying to get an NBA job. Do you think Rick Pitino ever coaches again, in the NBA?
There was rumblings. He was interested in the Bucks job, and the Bucks didn't want any.
Yeah, you know who started those rumblings?
Us?
Rick Pitino.
Oh, Rick Pitino.
The Bucks are interested in Rick Pitino. That makes no sense.
The same guy that called us and told us that the game one was going to be on a Saturday and it was on like a Sunday.
Yeah.
People love to give us false info.
That was the info. And then Steph Curry, he commits. He's going to play in the Olympics after what we saw from the national team. not so great a couple weeks back. You excited to watch that, Steph Curry in the Olympics, or who cares?
He's got to make the team first.
Okay. Yeah, he's got to be recruited.
Get out of here.
Hey, why is Giannis to the Warriors like the thing everyone in the NBA is talking about?
What?
Yeah, Ramona Shelburne, I believe is her name, right? ESPN reporter.
What's the this? Jump?
Yeah, she was on the Jump, and I mean, the Warriors are going to go all in, but the Bucks are going to be able to offer him the Supermax, which they've already said they're going
to do. Horst says he's
going to
do that, yeah.
The $239 million or whatever it is. But yeah, the Warriors, they have a lot of interest in obviously bringing. They're going to need another
superstar. That's just a rumor.
Well, right. But the Warriors, like, everybody wants to go and play in Golden State. Like, Kevin Durant really didn't need to leave OKC. They were a game away from reaching the NBA Finals, yeah. But you want to go play in that offense because the ball never stops moving in that offense. Like, you're going to get your shots, and you're going to most likely win 60 to 65.
But Giannis
games.
Is going to get offered the Supermax, the $245 million here. Why would he want to go anywhere else? He's talked about staying here.
Guys have been turning it down, though. Kemba Walker turned down the Supermax. Kyrie Irving turned down the Supermax.
Mm.
We're seeing it a little bit more. I mean, I'm not going to throw that rumor out there. I think Giannis stays.
Yeah,
I think he loves it here.
Yeah,
but.
No. So I hear something factual that he's actually leaving. I don't want to take for granted.
No,
that he's staying.
it's a dead time in the NBA, and somebody mocked up Giannis in a Warrior jersey, and now it's been the news story in that cycle for the last couple of days. 414-799-1250. Tim is in Fredonia. Tim, what's up?
Hi, Tim.
Well, that's something, right? You're right. You might be right. I'm trying to sound optimistic.
Said Tim, this is the worst your phone's ever sounded.
Really?
Well, that I heard.
Yeah.
How is that? Is that better now?
Well, what you need to do is, you know, there's a ear end and a receiver end. You need to talk into the receiver end.
You can never tell.
I think it's too bad you're talking to the ear end.
You know, these phones are made for doing everything but talking in them.
Yeah. I think Tim talks into his case and not the actual phone.
I just watch videos.
The Bennett's are pretty class people, though, guys. I mean, white water and
tea and I can't hear a thing you're saying.
Okay.
How do cell phones in this day and age?
This ain't the Tim from Fredonia show anyway. It's the Ryan Horvath Hour. We got some more news that I forgot to give you guys this a couple days ago. I wanted to get to it, but we ended up talking about something else. No.
Oh.
The NBA looking to further crack down on tampering. They're going to propose a new top fine of $10 million for teams who do get caught conducting practice, or pretty much teams that are tampering.
Mm-hmm.
A fine up to $10 million, because you're not going to tell me that there wasn't tampering going on. Every major free agent signed day one of free agency. Yeah. Durant went to Brooklyn. Kyrie went to Brooklyn. We keep asking on the show, or we were during basketball season, like, how do you crack down on this? How do you crack down on the Warriors trying to steal Giannis away and getting in his DMs and whatnot? $10 million, do you think that stops anybody?
No, $10 million, that's nothing for some of these guys. Nothing at all.
Tampering's so vague, though, because like even the guys that were out in China playing together, you become friends with these guys.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you think about it, like Greg Popovich is coaching them. Like, what's to say he's not whispering in,
you
know, Harrison
play for
Barnes
me in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But even if they don't say anything, even if they go to China and there's no words exchanged, like in the back of one of those guys' minds, they could say, you know, I really liked playing with Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. I'm gonna see if the Bucks have some room for me. Now, that's not tampering, but it's such a vague thing. Not every case of tampering is a guy calling up and saying, hey, Anthony Davis, come to the Lakers.
Yes.
So that is kind of...
Yeah.
Well, it's getting kind of scary like with the NFL now, too, because I like the NBA, and the offseason is entertaining, but I like the NFL because I like to know where guys are going to be every year. For instance, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Packers. Tom Brady is the quarterback of the Patriots. Now it's like guys are just trying to get out of bad situations. We're seeing it with Jalen Ramsey right now in Jacksonville. He wants out, so he's asking for a trade. Minkah Fitzpatrick just got himself traded. In the NFL, like, that's the one thing I hate about professional sports. If you're drafted to a team and you're being paid to play somewhere, show up, do your job, and shut up until your contract's over. There's no way that guys should be able to force their way out of situations like this. It's bad enough that it was happening in the NBA. I don't want to see the NFL take place like this. Like, we've seen Antonio Brown on three teams since last year.
What I don't like about the NFL is the shelf life of these players is so small. Like, Aaron Jones, really good running back, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in 3 or 4 years, he could be out of the league. And that's just the way it goes. It's just a revolving door for these players, and they could be on a different team. It's just that, I mean, look how different the roster makeup is from this year's Packer team to 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's just a constantly revolving roster, which I don't like.
One bit of recruiting news before we go. Bill Michaels 10-2. The Badgers have offered a scholarship to Christian Driver, the son of Donald Driver, a sophomore safety at Liberty Christian in Argyle, Texas. So the Badgers have offered a scholarship to Donald Driver's
JC transfer
son.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bill Michaels up next, 10 to 2. Ron Wolf here in studio with Bill, 1235. If you miss any of it, the radio.com app on demand. We'll have some of it for you tomorrow, the highlights, but again, live at 1235.
Another Brewer victory tonight. Well, I'll tell you what, these next two games against the Padres, very, very tough.
I mean, I can't. I'm going to go home and just watch the TV until I see Brewers live. I'm so jacked up for another Brewers now. Padres victory.
Come on.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins on the Fan.
And he said,
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.